You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please give me. We have two readings this morning. The first one from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And a second reading from Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Well, it is a real gift to be back with you. As Dean Craig said, I was here in 2019 during the Lenten season, and the Holy Spirit ended up using that in a really significant way to reawaken my deep roots in love for the Episcopal Church and the Anglican tradition, and the end result of that is in part our move to Wycliffe College, which is a seminary serving students from the Episcopal Church as well as the Anglican Church of Canada. So I really feel grateful for the Spirit's work through my time here last time, and very grateful to be back, not least for the great food. These verses and passages today have some themes that you may have heard. Son, beloved, children of God. In these passages from Luke and 1 John, we see a movement, beginning with Jesus as the Son, the Beloved, and then moving through Jesus Christ to include us, that we should be called children of God. Jesus is baptized by John along with all the people, the text tells us, sharing our common humanity. And yet of all of those baptized by John, he uniquely receives the Holy Spirit, descending upon him like a dove. And he alone is told by God the Father, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." After the section of Luke that we read, the passage continues. Now Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry, suggesting that Jesus' baptism, his receiving of the Spirit, and this declaration of his identity as God's Son, the Beloved, these are central, pivotal to launching him into his public ministry. As one New Testament scholar writes, the purpose of the voice is to provide authorization and approval of his identity and mission. Following the tradition of the Israelite kings, who on the day of their coronation were adopted as sons of God, here we see Jesus testified to as a son in whom God is pleased. With this seal of approval, the public ministry of Jesus can begin. Now, Jesus' rich public ministry culminates in his death on the cross and in his resurrection on the third day, which we are journeying towards in this season of Lent. And when we are baptized today, we're connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. As Paul puts it in Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, so we might no longer be enslaved to sin. And as we read in Paul's letter to the Galatians, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. These passages speak to a beautiful connection between Jesus' baptism and belovedness, Jesus' death and resurrection to new life, and the grace of God that enables us to be baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ, united with Christ, so that our old sinful selves are crucified and we can walk in newness of life as children of God. Thanks be to God. The new identity that we've been given in Christ is underscored in our reading from 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and this is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. Jesus' baptismal identity, at the time reserved for him, becomes our baptismal identity. Being baptized into his death, our sins buried as he was buried, our old selves crucified as he was crucified, being raised to new life as he was raised to life, and receiving God's declaration over us. We are God's children, the beloved. That is what we are, present tense. And then John reiterates it, beloved, we are God's children now. As I've been reflecting on Jesus' baptism and our own baptism, the invitation to share in Jesus' belovedness as we're declared children of God, I've been reminded of my children's baptisms. The joy, the celebration that these passages exude have reminded me that in our family, my husband Trigg and I wanted our children's baptisms to be big, joyful celebrations. Some of the reasons for this flowed from our own story of infertility, many years of struggle, wondering, and loss of life. We had a tremendous community that journeyed with us. So when we were finally able to welcome a wee one into the world, we wanted to invite our community to celebrate with us. Our firstborn's baptism was our kill the fatted calf kind of celebration, with friends coming into town from near and far, staying the weekend, worshiping with us, covenanting with us to raise our son in the faith, and celebrating with us afterwards. Not being certain we'd be able to have more children, we celebrated the gift of our secondborn with equal joy. And truth be told, being a secondborn myself, not wanting her to feel slighted, even as an infant, we also had a big celebration upon the occasion of her baptism. When Ella was baptized, a member of the church had begun the practice of making painted signs for each person being baptized to remind them of their identity as a children of God. The sign says, I am a child of God, and underneath her name, Ella Arlene Karis, named after two grandmothers and then Greek word Karis for grace. I was delighted to receive this sign, pointing to the gift to which today's scripture passages also point, the gift of being called children of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That single sign seemed to capture so many of our hopes and prayers for Ella, that she would always know she was a beloved child of God, not having to earn her way into this identity, for she was already adopted into God's family through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ, a child of God in and through Jesus Christ. We hung it in the most central place in Ella's room with hope that she would always know the gift of God's love, which she had done nothing to merit. As one commentator on this passage writes, the consequence and proof of the love of God is being and being called children of God. The love of God is described as a gift, which means that we do nothing to merit it. Because this status is pure gift, putting into effect the love of God, we cannot view it as an accomplishment or work. Pure gift, Nothing we have to do to earn, accomplish, or work for God's love made known to us in Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is good news indeed. For me, coming from a family that emphasized performance and achievement, as well as being raised in the Washington, D.C. area, in which identity was always connected to work and accomplishment, encountering the central truth of the gospel, that we are children of God now, based entirely on the love of God and the salvific work of Christ on our behalf, this was amazing, liberating good news. I long to see my children, and to be honest, myself and every student I've ever taught, reminded day in and day out of our identity as God's children, rooted entirely in God's love, not our performance or accomplishments. So maybe this background I'm sharing is enough for you to understand how devastating, dismaying, might be some words I'd used, for me to come home one day and find hanging right underneath the sign in Ella's room a medal display hanger, meaning a hanger to hang her medals on. In Ella's case, designed to hold gymnastics medals, it was a gift from family members who not only gave it to her without checking in with us as her parents, but then hung it in the most central place in her room while I was not home, just below the I am a child of God sign. Prior to this, I had stashed Ella's medals in an old hook in her closet, trying in every possible way to emphasize that her identity was not connected to gymnastics medals or good grades or any other indicator of performance, in a world which again and again pushes us to find our identity in external markers. And then this, right in the center of her bedroom, underneath that sign. Whether or not we have metal hangers in the center of our rooms, it can be hard for all of us to remember that the most central part of who we are is beloved children of God, rooted entirely in the free gift of God's love. Perhaps your work is not going as well as you'd hoped. Or maybe you've transitioned into the joys and challenges of retirement after a productive career. Or maybe family dynamics are difficult in ways that make you question your parenting or grandparenting. In so many different circumstances, it can be hard to remember that our identity does not lie in our performance, whether at work or at home. For all of us, it's difficult to keep God's love central. John's writings help us with this because he, in the words of another commentator, is preoccupied with divine love. His penchant to reference agape is evidence of ongoing wonder and joy. Indeed, John uses the term or variant 46 times in the little letter of 1 John. The greatness of this love lies, as the scholar writes, in its effect to make people children of God. With the pressures of the world pressing in on us, as well as the brokenness of the sinful world all around us, the present tense of this reality, that we are children of God now, requires constant reaffirmation. And this knowledge, this identity, has an impact on us. It leads to action, to a way of life to which we're called as children of God. As Jesus' baptism and the declaration of his belovedness led to his life of ministry and service, so we are called into lives of ministry and service, whatever our specific vocation. In other words, although it doesn't require works on our part to become children of God, being children of God leads to certain actions. This knowledge that we are children of God, to draw on the commentator again, is transformational. It does not leave us unchanged. It is concomitant with the present ethical urgency. If we had had all the time in the world today, I would have added a third reading from the book of Dan. But instead of reading the passage for you, I'll just provide a short summary. It's likely a story you know well. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue that all were to bow down to and worship when certain music was played, or else they'd be thrown into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not follow this practice. And when brought in to the king, they say, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods. and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel are intentionally living to seek to live as God's people in the foreign land of Babylon. The way of life to which they are called by God leads them to do certain things, like eat and pray in certain ways, and to refuse to do other things, like worshiping the golden statue. Now, when we grow up and remain in a particular cultural location, it can be harder to see what we're called to do and what we're called to refuse to do as a result of being children of God. It's harder to see that than when we're transported to another place with a clearly different religion. But the calling remains. The need to discern together as a community what it means to live as beloved children of God in this time and place are always a part of the call to discipleship. By God's grace in Christ Jesus, we've been invited to become children of God. We have been declared beloved just as Jesus was. And as this declaration launched Jesus into a life of mission and service, so we are called to a way of life defined by mission and service. This can all be captured in a simple prayer I learned from a student in one of my seminary classes a few years back, which I incorporated as a practice with our children every morning. So let us close with this prayer. Good morning, Lord. This is your day. I am your child. Show me your way. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.